Looking Forward Our Way podcast addresses today's critical issues affecting adults in Ohio. We focus on issues that affect our money and our neighborhoods. Our expert guests are here to provide the information and resources needed to address those challenges. We are looking forward our way. Hi, this is Brett. Employment in today's world is a toss-up, particularly for adults who've been in a career field for a long time. The job search process is difficult at best and critical at worst. It is imperative that you try to control what you can by always being on top of your employment strategies. Let's welcome our guest, Sharon Hammersley. Some of you may know Sharon as the LinkedIn coach or the resume coach. Sharon generously provides job searching information to Central Ohioans in many formats, and that includes working with local nonprofits and libraries through workshops and training programs. Sharon, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here on a rather warm and sticky Friday.
Yes, exactly. But better than rain. So
yes, better than rain. Yeah. This is true.
We're good. So Sharon, thank you so much for podcasting with us again. We are calling on you every year to come in and give us all the updates and what's happening in the job market. Before we go into details for today's program, we want to hear about you. So let's first discuss your background and services you're providing to job seekers, and you've been doing it for years.
Yes, more years than I care to think about some days.
Yeah, didn't we both like retire years ago?
We did actually retire.
Exactly.
Carol and I knew each other, met at least sometimes at Ohio State, where I was an academic advisor in arts and sciences, working with students to help them figure out what they wanted to do when they graduated. I spent 10 years in the private sector in several different roles, and back in 2010, I decided it was time to go out on my own, and I started my career coaching business. My goal is really to support clients seeking new jobs or a change of scenery in the topsy-turvy world of the 21st century job search. And like you said, Brett, it's topsy-turvy.
Oh, yes. And it's not going to get better.
No, it's only going to get more complex and complicated. And what I do basically is provide tools, resources, and information, including resumes and cover letters, job search strategy coaching, interview coaching, and LinkedIn profile development.
And I think one of our messages today really is that there are people out in the community, regardless of where you live, to our audience. There are people out there who can help you. Individuals like Sharon, nonprofits in your community. Don't think you are by yourself, and use those resources because it's going to make things so much easier and have a much more successful job search.
Yes, and with the tools that we have for our virtual world, that person doesn't have to be local. You can meet on Zoom. You can meet by phone. There are lots of ways to connect with someone who is really the best person to help you.
Very, very true. Mm-hmm. And audience, will have our resources, as we always do, in the show notes for this podcast and contact information for Sharon. If you like what you're hearing, she's the perfect person for you to talk to. And if by chance you, as a member of our audience, you are either a college student or you have a student in college, there are career services on every college campus.
Yes.
And it is so much better for a student to use that office, those free resources, from the minute they start school as freshmen.
Yes.
Don't wait till they are ready to graduate.
So, and even if you don't have a good idea initially of where you want to go next, that's something that the Career Services Office can help you sort through.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So I guess we're going to give a shout out to all of our colleagues in Career Services, regardless of what school they work at. But they do a phenomenal job. So yes, Thank you to them for helping our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we often hear that even when we seem to be a stable employment, we've got to remain vigilant and ready to make a career change at any time because we just don't know what's going on in the business per se. So why is this so important? And are there clues that an older job seeker should be aware of that could lead to that job loss?
Yeah. It's tempting just to keep your head down and do the work to be a good employee. You know, we all think that if we're a good employee, that will save our job. And speaking from personal experience, This is just not true. So there are some signals that your job may be at risk in the environment. Any buyout or merger, you know, if your mm-hmm. company's going through a buyout or a merger, that's a big red flag to be on the lookout and really thinking about what's next. It's possible you'll be retained. It's very possible that you won't be. So any sort of reorganization, companies love to reorganize, you know, and put people in different places and figure out in the process how many people they really don't need. So that, or they think they don't need. That's the thing. Sometimes you can look out in the environment and you can just see that the market for your product or service is declining. You know, that's not real common, but it's certainly a signal that you should actually be thinking about, you know, what's next for yourself. Oh, and a biggie, because this is what happened to me, there's a change in leadership. Okay, you can have the best boss in the entire world that you absolutely love working for, and then boom, they're promoted, they get a new job or something, and the person that replaces them is, shall we say, different and challenging. So if you find yourself...
That's a very politically correct way of saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could use some other words, but hey, yeah. This is a podcast, you know.
But Brett will not only have to edit it out, but he may have to give us one of those dings or buzzes.
Right.
Or
Yeah, right. Well, we all can relate to that. Yes. Our own words to it.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Right. And then there is automation and the of functions critical to your job. And again, this is not just frontline folks. This is mid-level folks as well. There can be parts of your job that AI at some point is probably going to take over. Not tomorrow, right. But at some point. So,
right.
Yeah.
So the thing that people don't want to do or just don't do is to be aware of their own company.
Yes.
You know, a reorganization, particularly when there is budget cuts, is not a good sign.
No.
And I'm not saying that you should jump ship, but definitely take what we're going to be telling you today with more than a grain of salt, because there could be some bad times. Look at for local information, the plant in Chillicothe that's getting closed, which they had promised it was going to stay open until the end of the year, and suddenly, you know, everybody got their 2-week slip even before summer.
Yeah,
so it's out there.
Yeah, it's definitely out there, and you don't have to be paranoid about any of this. You just have to be someone who keeps their ear to the ground, has conversations, reads local business reports, all of those types of things. And you don't have to do that every day. You just have to keep an eye on what's going on out there.
Right. You can get like week in reviews information from local newspapers, business newspapers. The information is out there. It's not hard to find.
Yeah, it really is easy to find. Yeah.
Okay. So, Sharon, you know, going back to when we left Ohio State and started at the nonprofit agency helping individuals 50 and over find work, was in the middle of the 2008 recession. Middle management was at most risk at that time, which was really the first time that had happened in our American economy. Is it possible that someone in today's employment could be at risk of a layoff or termination, even in that management role, or people at higher levels of skills? Or does the market seem to be putting just those at a lower levels in an organization at risk?
Well, experience and skills are not the only considerations when companies need to reduce their headcount. Depending on the reasons that we just talked about, you may be vulnerable to a layoff no matter what your level is in the organization. And middle management, I think, to go back for just a second, is particularly vulnerable. We talked about buyouts, mergers, reorganizations, and change in leadership. Those are all really big red flags for somebody in middle to upper middle management that it's possible that your job is going to be at risk. Automation can affect frontline workers. Their jobs are, you know, that's been going on for how many years now? 25, 30 years, you know. If you look at, for instance, an auto manufacturing plant, even let's say in 2000 versus what that looks like now, or someone who works, say, in a warehouse, that looks completely different today, and it's highly automated. So,
well, everybody is getting all bent out of shape on AI today. Well, the only difference today than it was 20 years ago is that AI has gotten to the point of where it's sort of the everyman computer program as opposed to high-level robotics programming.
Yep.
So there's nothing new in this. Automation has taken over jobs before. It has normally been a mechanical, manufacturing, physical job skills, where now it's going up the ladder.
Yeah, again. very much the intellectual skills, the analytical skills, those types of things that AI can, in fact, take over at least some of that. You know, there are challenges with it, but, you know.
Right. There was an article in the paper this week where these young guys have a new company and their intent is to, every job will be done by a computer. Every job. I'm like, well, go, more power to it.
You know what? Sidebar on that. Isn't that the oddest focus? That is what you want to do.
Yeah.
I wonder if they realize that means their jobs too.
Well, that's the thing. Our job is just to, we want to make this that it just eliminates humans ultimately doing, isn't that the oddest thing?
Yeah, but we want to still have something to do. Well, I don't know about that.
It's just odd. Well, really odd. Anyway.
Yeah, as opposed to making life better, they just want to
move
it along.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, career experts often discuss having a job search plan. What is that? And can individuals create the plan themselves, or should they get some help? And if so, where can they go for that help? Can it be expensive?
Well, it may seem overly cautious or paranoid to have a job search plan when you're not intending to leave your current job.
Right.
However, having some basics in place, and we'll talk more about that in a minute, what you really need to have in place and ready to go if, you know, that job suddenly goes away, you're not at a disadvantage for that. And it really doesn't have to be expensive. There are good books out there that you can do some self-analysis. You can follow career development experts on LinkedIn. I may add a couple of those folks to the resources.
Right.
Other people that I really trust, they may not align exactly with my philosophy, but my philosophy is not a good fit for everybody. So, you know, there are other folks out there. Mm-hmm. If you decide you want some guidance from a career development professional, that entails a fee. What I tell folks is this is an investment or insurance policy that you have kind of in your hip pocket so that, again, you know, you are prepared if you need to make a move.
Right.
Even if you decide to make a move, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, as you just said, too, a minute ago, people should not be going to work every day paranoid they're going to lose their job.
Yeah.
Back in 2008, that recession hit very quickly.
Yeah.
And people had no clue what was going on. I remember going to a job fair where the line of people to get in literally didn't just go out the door. It went through a parking lot thousands of people trying to find jobs in this job fair. So, this is a really good time to kind of up your game a bit.
Yeah.
And that's what we hope you can do after today's podcast.
Yeah.
So, Sharon, let's go ahead and jump right into this notion of creating a job search plan, or just, and maybe that's too formal of a name, but just creating your plan. Can we assume that an individual should have some idea on the job they want and who's hiring in that field, or maybe not? And should a job seeker first review their skills or just review what jobs they've done in the past?
So actually all of the above.
Okay.
You know, yeah, really. Before starting a search, you need to clarify what your target roles are. You don't have to narrow it down to just one. But I often encounter people who just tell me, well, I'll take any job I can get. And that's actually not a target. So
that's not a good strategy.
Not a good strategy at all. Also, this is a really good time to ask yourself, are you wanting to stay at a similar level of responsibility? Maybe you want to move up. Maybe you want more responsibility in your next job. Or maybe you want to take a step back with fewer responsibilities. So all of that. And then, you know, once you have that in place, then take a deep dive into your work to date. Really, really dig through that. What are your primary responsibilities and what skills have you used to be successful there? Where have you taken on additional tasks that aren't part of your core job? What recognition, if any, have you received? If you're a manager, do you manage people, projects, or maybe a combination of the two? If you receive periodic evaluations, it's a good idea to keep them so you can remember work that you might otherwise forget over time. And also, this is something people usually don't think about at all, but I think it's really a great resource to have on hand. And that's to, if you get a complimentary email from your manager, from a client, you know, from anyone in your work, colleague, in your work environment, just save that, but not on your work computer. That's one of the big things. That
don't save any of this on your work computer.
Don't save any of this. You need, you know, if it's on your work computer, if you get walked out the door, it's gone.
So right.
This all needs to be on your device in your personal cloud storage spot, wherever it is, not at work. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. I want to go back to the comment, this is critical comment. Back in the recession, I hate to keep bringing this up, but it was just a lot of what happened then I'm seeing today,
yeah.
You know, that of things that are happening to people today, that don't tell an employer to take that you'll take any job.
Yeah.
Number one, you sound like you don't really care about them, their positions that are open, that you have no clue what you can and can't do. But also, always in every situation in a job search, you cannot expect an employer to make decisions for you.
Yes.
If they're recruiting you, that you are going to them with the value that you bring to them.
Yeah.
Telling them you'll do anything is not bringing them value.
Yeah.
It's basically clogging up the process.
Yeah. And you're probably going to get crickets or get
right.
kicked out of the consideration pretty quickly. What you're doing is the employer is looking for someone who can solve a problem they have, take advantage of an opportunity they have. You have to show them that you're the person who can take care of that issue, who can take, you know, who can help them grab that opportunity and run with it.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So,
yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Another piece of that reevaluation that popped to my mind when you were talking about this is now seeing this in both our kids, younger, they are in their 20s, but this remote work is really nuanced. That just all this, I think it's that you need to consider, are you open to working outside of the office?
Yes.
3 to 5 days a week.
Yeah. Well, and the flip side of that is if you've been working outside of the office, are you willing to go back in?
Right, yeah. That too. Plus all the negotiations that go around working remotely as well too, just different concepts of asking for this or it's a different world with the remote work.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. And I see people commenting that it could be really difficult to build connections with the people that you're working with. You have to be, the virtual water cooler is a really tricky spot to find.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, one issue that older adults have always had in their own job searches, if they have been in a position or in a particular industry or particular career field over a long period of time, haven't had to do any job searching, the whole process is very different today.
Oh, yeah.
And you really need to do some homework as to what the job search process is so you're prepared to go through it.
Yeah. I can't believe in one sense that I'm saying this. I coined that phrase, you know, I help you conduct a 21st century job search, probably, you know, 15 years ago or so now. Well, it's 2025. We're a quarter of the way through the 21st century, and people are still doing 20th century job searches. It's some days it just flabbergasts me.
Yes, exactly.
So once the job seeker understands the value that they can provide an employer, they've done this evaluation, where they want to go, what they want to do, what, you know, skills they have, soft, hard. But can they determine which employers could be interested in them?
Yeah, there are several strategies to do that. Before you do that, before you actually jump in to do that, this is kind of going back to the last question even a bit. What industries or market segments are you interested in? Do you want to stay in the area of your current or previous employment, branch out to new areas? We just talked about working in office, remote, or hybrid. What size company is the best fit? Some people enjoy working for the big, huge name brand, prestigious companies with well-defined roles and responsibilities. If you work for a large company, you're pretty much going to have some role and some set of responsibilities that are set. They're not set in stone, but there are kind of parameters around them. A small company, on the other hand, may actually want you to wear several different hats and juggle things. And some people are really good at that, and they would feel completely stifled if they worked in a big corporation. If you enjoy risk taking, you could use a startup. So, you know, and then once you get that set, then you can start targeting more, you know, you can start doing your networking. We're going to be talking more about that in a minute anyway. But you can start really gaining that information, gaining those connections based on, okay, so I know now where I need to look, you know, what kind of companies I need, what type of roles I'm looking at, all of that. So once you have the answers to these questions, you can research companies that are a good fit using job boards, company research databases, websites, and networking. You can, you know, AI has some real value in all of this. For research purposes, you can use prompts such as develop a list of companies in this industry that have between, you know, 1,000 and 5,000 employees located in the Columbus, Ohio area to generate a list for additional research. And then you go back, you look at the other, you know, you look at the databases, you look at people that you might know either from previous jobs that you're connected with on LinkedIn, that you have connections through other types of organizations to start getting really connected there. So,
and those databases are very easy to get to through your public library.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. In fact, I have an appointment next week with one of the research librarians because we had a conversation about that. They stopped subscribing to the database that I was most used to using, and they have a new one. So I'm actually going to sit down with that person, which you can do. You can make an appointment with a real live person at your local library to learn how to use these tools and research databases.
Right. If you're in the Columbus area and you don't have to live in Columbus, you can get a Columbus Library card. They're free. And they have a special section for job seekers and for employers.
Yeah.
So employers can get information for their own company strategic planning. But this is not something new. They have been doing this for decades. I remember this when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And they have really developed their staff and the resources, and you can find them on the second floor of the downtown library, but also local libraries. And you can get the information you want. And it's much better to have a little bit more information on a group of employers as opposed to that shotgun, send a resume out to 1,000 people and hope you're going to catch somebody not only is interested in you, but that you'd actually like to work for.
Yeah. You know, because you could find out based on your research that a company that you thought might be a good fit Well, maybe they just had a big layoff. You know.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you're going to get that information
from the research that you
do. Yep. Right. From the research, from watching those local industry publications.
Yep.
All those kinds of.
Yeah.
So we're giving you the steps.
Yeah.
Okay. You had talked a little bit. We were going to get into some networking. The one comment that clients used to tell me all the time, oh, networking is nothing but begging for a job. It is not begging for a job. Let's help our audience better understand what networking is and how to properly utilize your network and expand it in a job search.
Yeah. If you think of networking as begging, you're going to avoid it at all costs. And yet it is, in many senses, you can have a stellar resume. You know, you can have tons of really pertinent experience in everything. But if you think of networking as just begging for a job and you avoid doing it, you're going to have a really hard time, especially now 25 years into the 21st century, connecting with opportunities that are good for you. So a better strategy is to view networking as an exchange of information for mutual benefit. That's how I just describe it. When you reach out to someone in your network, what you're really asking for is advice and information. And you may not think that you have anything to give them in return. You know, what's the benefit for the person I'm talking with? But we all know how much people just love to give advice.
And they love to talk about themselves and their jobs.
Yep. So that may be the real benefit for them, that they've helped you. So what you're really asking for, and you don't want to just jump into a networking conversation. You want to have some specific pieces of information that you want to harvest or gather from whoever it is that you're talking to. Some it just may be things like, well, we worked together for 10 years. You know, what are my biggest strengths? Where do you see me going next? That type of thing. If you connect with someone in a company that you're interested in working for, please don't ask them if they have any jobs available. You know, what you're really asking is, what's it like to work for this company? How long have you worked there? You know, do you see that people generally have opportunities to advance if they want to? Those types of things. So it's really all about getting specific information from the people that you're networking with. And then the last question should always be, when you're having a network conversation, is, who else should I be talking to? Where else should I be looking? I think that that's really important. Not everybody has a good answer to that, but people really, you know, they want to help. They really do. And if they can give you, well, I know, you know, Susie Jones in Angry Chocolates, that's one of my favorite companies. That's what from Liz Ryan, who's an author I follow. And I think she'd be a great resource for you, because, you know, Angry Chocolates is on the rise. So go talk to her about this too. So, and there are several other resources that you may not have thought about that can be helpful in expanding your network. One that I push all the time, and I think it's really, really important, is your professional association. Almost every profession has an association, you know, professional association. For instance, because I work broadly in human resources, my association is the Association for Talent Development. It used to be called ASTD, now it's called ATD. And they have a national chapter and a local chapter. And so that's a great resource. Another one, and Carol and I have been working, you know, with the Ohio State Group, is the college and alumni groups, you know, both in person. You know, if your college or university has a local alumni group, get connected. Those people are connected. They really are.
That includes community colleges too.
Yeah,
Columbus State has one of the best career service offices in the town.
Get connected with those folks. Volunteering for local nonprofits, you know, this is something that you have to build over time. You can't just show up and expect to suddenly have a network in that group. But if you show yourself to be a valuable volunteer over time and you're talking to people, one of the things you're going to do, you know, like if you're working for the food bank and sorting food, is people are probably going to ask you, so where do you work, or, you know, what's your line of work? And you can say, well, right now I'm doing this, but I'm really interested in learning more about, you know, and often that will spark a really good conversation. So, and then another resource that can be useful, if you are a member of any religious organization, the leadership of that organization is usually pretty well connected in the community, and they know who within their congregation, within that group, probably they know some people and where they work and what their jobs are, but they can't help you if you don't talk to them. So
very, very true. Yeah. One other thing, group of people, because a lot of folks that are job seeking are not looking at professional positions. So even if you are not in a management level right now, there are other groups that you can talk to folks. You may belong to a union. You may be in an apprenticeship program. Talk to your faculty or your mentors in that apprenticeship program. Any teacher you had even when you were in high school might be of help, or the principal of your high school. They're going to know who graduated and what they're doing. Don't think that if you're not at a professional level, you have nobody to talk to. There are a lot of folks to talk to. Just sit down and kind of just do some brainstorming with yourself and think of, well, what groups, who do I normally see all the time? My kid's softball coach.
There you go. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's actually true for anybody, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you have kids, you know, who do they interact with?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Who are the parents of their friends?
Yep.
You know, when we were at Ohio State, we always used to talk to students about doing informational interviewing.
Yes, yeah.
And that's really what networking is all about. And it was a concept that students just didn't get. And it's really too bad, because it does really widen their world. Yeah. And I used to say that I could do networking because I'm inherently nosy, because I'm looking at Brett and he's laughing. Because I just always liked hearing what people did. So that was an easy way to network. But so in terms of this whole job search strategy, think of networking as part of your research and information gathering points, not your actual, I'm looking for a job.
Yeah.
Do you have a job for me? That kind of thing. So just put it in the context of looking for information.
Yeah. And when you look for information, that actually brings the opportunity closer to you. You know, it's because as you start to hone in on different pieces of that information and make other connections, that's actually helping you make the connections that you're going to need when you actually maybe see a job posting out there at a company that you're interested in working for.
Right.
So then you have somebody in that company, or you know somebody who knows somebody in that company, that you can actually, again, gather more resources, maybe find out more about that particular job or the hiring manager or any of those things. So doing that research and, you know, which is, yeah, making those connections is what's actually bringing you closer to the opportunity that you're looking for.
I'm going to throw one more thing in here. I was just looking at my notes, and I don't think we plan to talk about it. I can't tell you how often I have said, particularly to young folks, reach out to me on LinkedIn. You know, I'm connected to hundreds, maybe over 1,000 people. There might be somebody in there that you want to meet, and mm-hmm. I can help you with that if you link with me. And 9 times out of 10, they don't bother. Now, these kids are on social media 24/7. For young people, for those who aren't on LinkedIn now, who are thinking about looking at a job, it is where you need to be to gather information, to find out about employers, figure out what's going on. and to build your network. And so I just wanted to plug that in here.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do a whole show on that.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we did a while back.
Maybe I was just going to think we have. We will resurrect all those old podcasts we've had with Sharon for everybody.
Exactly. Well, you know, there's a ton of information that has to go into a resume. And we can maybe outline a little bit. I mean, does it all go in? I mean, everything we just talked about. And what other items should be ready and updated at all times as well, too?
Okay, so it's kind of tempting to cram your whole professional resume into whole professional career into two pages. But the purpose of the resume really is to provide a snapshot of your career path, focusing on what's most valuable to a future employer. So if you view your resume as a critical document in one piece, but definitely not the only piece, the tool that you need to have in your toolbox resource, that's a start. Cover letter template, because sometimes you see on applications, don't send a cover letter. Sometimes they want a cover letter. So you need to have something ready to go. A cover letter template is something that you can easily adjust to a particular job you're applying for. Just have something ready that you can kind of fill in the blanks. I'm applying for this position that I learned about by. Here are my chief skills and experiences that are a good match for the job, that type of thing.
Make sure you edit those letters before you send them, because I have done that myself. And done a template and then didn't fix something for the next employer.
Yeah. And then your LinkedIn profile, we just talked about this, really needs to be up to date. Recent headshot, robust list of skills that are valuable to any employer. Your about section needs to speak to what makes you a unique and valuable employee in the role that you're targeting. So all of that, you know, and it can take some time. People, I encounter, you know, young folks are one target audience, but I speak to people who are mature workers. They said, well, I've never bothered with a LinkedIn profile. It seemed just like Facebook to me. And I'm like, well, you know.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Exactly.
It takes quite a while to get the LinkedIn profile, because, you know, to be really credible, you have to have all of the good basics and the information, and you have to have a network in place. If a recruiter comes and sees that you have 10 connections, they're not going to be interested, most likely. So that's something. And then also references. In the olden days, the last thing on our resume was references available upon request. Well, that shouldn't go on your resume now. But you may have informal references in the form of emails or certificates or lots of different things. For actual references, people that you want to write a reference for you, that's what LinkedIn is for, you know. You can ask folks for references, and you should also provide them one then, you know. It should be mutual, but you can ask for references, you know, just like you could in the, quotes, real world, from colleagues, from clients, from vendors, you know. People ask, well, should I have a, quotes, personal reference, like a friend? And I'm going, no, not unless they really know your work history, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody can say you're a nice person, but, you know, that's something. But, yeah, recommendations. And here's a tip. If you have those email notes and or certificates, there's a section on LinkedIn called Featured where you can post those and people can see them. Mm-hmm. You know, you just turn them into a PDF and upload them to your LinkedIn profile, and there you go. So that's another credible source.
So as we're listening to all these bits and pieces of information, and that's what's really important in getting yourself to the point of being ready for your next job search, there's a lot of information you're collecting. Information from the library on employers, information on employers from business periodicals, magazines, newspapers. You've got all of these contacts you're making with your network, or people you're finding as you're talking in your community. You've got a resume. You're all ready to go. How do you keep track of all of this?
Okay, so this is something that people also don't think about often. Record keeping is absolutely critical to keep you on track. We haven't mentioned so far a document or a spreadsheet that you use to keep track of all of this. And it can be pretty straightforward. If you're relatively familiar with Excel, you can just make an Excel spreadsheet. You can use Word or Google Docs or whatever. The main thing is that you keep that up to date, and every time you get a piece of information, it goes in there somewhere. So, for instance, if you meet a new contact, you want to capture the contact information for that person, and what you talked about and what any follow-up actions are for. And of course, you want to track every application from start to finish. Even if you get an application and 15 minutes later you get a bounce back that says, you're not qualified. That can actually tell you something, because you can see patterns. Are you getting to first interviews? Are you getting to second interviews? But you're still not getting offers, then, that's a way to kind of track where you are and see where there might be any sticking points that you can work on. Maybe you need to be more diligent about preparing for interviews, practicing for interviews, those types of things. Maybe you just need to tweak your communications with folks a little bit so that they better understand, who you are and what you offer to them. But that's a great way to track it. So, that tracking tool is really, really important.
And especially for those who really hate writing thank yous.
Yeah.
This is the way for you to keep track that you have thanked people, closing all those loops.
Yep.
And then if you actually do get a new job, you can thank people again because they were critical to you getting that position. All of that is going to make a difference, particularly when you're looking at the next round you're job hunting.
Yeah, exactly. And you're also going to need to make edits to your resume when you're actually applying to a job. You have a foundational basic resume that has your information, and then you tweak it a little bit when you're actually applying for a job. So you need to keep a record of that particular resume, whatever your filing system is,
Right. Yeah. But if you save time by doing good record keeping now, when you're looking for somebody's information, it's not so hard. It's right there. And I have a story. I've said it a million times, but it just fit the scenario at that point in time, and I think it's gonna fit into what we're moving into in the economy today. One of my volunteers applied for a job. The employer decided to hold off on the job hiring. They had 25 people who had applied. And so when they decided they did have money, they were going to fill the job, they started contacting those 25 folks, and nobody even remembered that the company or they had applied for the job or what the job was until they got to my volunteer, who had done incredibly wonderful record keeping. And she was flipping through her notebook or whatever it was where she had all the information as she was talking to this person on the phone, and brought up the cover letter she had given them and talked about that and her resume at the time and all this. They asked her to go in the next day for an interview and offered her the job.
Yep.
Now, this is somebody who had been applying to positions for a while. And so this was and she really wanted this job. So it was critical. They had planned, had they not found anybody in that first group of 25, to just repost the job, but they wanted to give the original applicants an opportunity to up their application again. Nobody was ready to do that.
Yep, except the one person
except
who
the
was
one
prepared,
person. Yeah.
Who was so, prepared. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and that's the whole thing, really, is being prepared. Maybe this is a new concept. Yeah. Don't be paranoid, be prepared.
Exactly. Yeah. Very good point.
Yeah. So if we look at an individual who's nearly ready to retire from full-time work, but maybe that person's looking for the new gig, how do strategies change to accommodate that shift in this new direction? I mean, they may want to reduce hours that they're working or moving into a new career field or industry. What do you suggest they change in that job search strategy?
So the most important strategy for this individual is that informational interviewing part. And they are, you know, and they're casting a wider net than you might. If you're looking for a specific job, you're going to cast a wider net because you're literally trying to figure out what's out there. And then you just look at the people in your network in all kinds of different places. And, you know, people, you want to talk to people who've already made that step. If you can find folks who have already moved forward into a, you know, reduced role, some combination of volunteer work and paid work, all of those types of things, those folks are actually gold, I think, because they can really kind of show you what their path was to get there. Lots of different people could help you. And, you know, it's not that you're targeting a specific job, but you're targeting possibilities that are out there. And in this case, the wider range of people that you can get a hold of, you know, you can say, well, I have, you know, I really enjoyed doing this in my career. That's a while back. Let me talk to somebody who's doing that now. You know, what's changed? You know, if I wanted to do this even part-time, would it be a good fit? Sometimes you can eliminate stuff because it's like, oh, no, I'm not going back to school for 2 years to just to get caught up in this, you
right.
know. But
right.
Yeah.
But Sharon and I have had a lot of conversations with folks who are trying to get to that retirement step, and many are afraid to retire because they can't see what their role will be once they retire. Mm-hmm. As I said, I think the hardest thing that happened to me when I retired was to lose my title.
Yeah.
And so that's where I conned Brett into giving me the title of co-host so that I had a title. But it's people can't think of it as like I'm walking off the cliff. It's the end. They really need to look at it as the next step to a new beginning.
Yeah.
And really in a positive light. And that's a good point. Just talk to other folks who have gone through this. They're going to help you. And it's for those of us who have retired several times and always find
something. And are still thinking about retiring again.
Exactly. You know, there's just so much out there to do. You're never going to be bored. It's all going to work out.
Yeah.
Right. So we've already touched on this a little bit, but let's just kind of sum it up here. There are a lot of resources, programs, and services available to job seekers across the country. What are some of your recommendations, even for people who are living outside of Central Ohio? What steps should they be taking?
Okay. We talked about the library. There are also county and state agencies in probably almost every county, for sure at the state level in every state, and many county or regional employment offices. And often they really do. I know that our local Ohio Means Jobs here in Central Ohio, they have a ton of workshops.
Right. And Columbus has done a great job on those programs.
Yeah.
Franklin County, I guess.
Right. Franklin County has done a great job with that. And organizations, and I think this is true across the country, Jewish Family Services. And those services are available to anybody.
Right.
It's not, you know, they are a religiously based organization, but they right.
As Goodwill also.
And Goodwill.
Across the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Goodwill across the country, yeah.
You know, I think, too, a lot of times people would come to us and say, oh, you know, I went to Ohio Means Jobs or I went to so-and-so and I did this and that, and they didn't help me. Well, you have to realize that if you've come in prepared, like we're talking today, it's having some notion of what it is you want to do, maybe some employers that you're interested in, you've kind of at least have a draft of a resume, they have someplace to start with you. It's like telling the employer you'll do any job regardless. It's if you go into an agency and 9 times out of 10, the services are all free.
Yeah.
But you have to have a someplace to start.
Yeah.
So you have to do a little bit of your own homework.
Yeah. Right. You have to have some idea of how you think they can help you. And often if they're like, well, we're not quite what you need, but you know, if you go over here, you can get it.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to get referred to other agencies. Because the agencies know each other's programs and services.
Yeah.
They will get you to the place you need to be. They're not pushing you out the door.
Yeah.
They're going to get you to where you need to be.
Exactly. And another resource that, you know, it's just sort of a general community resource is the 211 line. You can call them, and they connect people with food banks and, you know, housing and all kinds of things. But they also connect people if you're not sure what agencies offer employment-related services in your community. The 211 line folks will know who that is.
Exactly. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, we'll come to an end again. Good grief. It always flies, as Carol always says. And it does, because you're just absorbing so much good information. But do you have any last words of advice for job seekers in the audience? I mean, those who are employed already, those who are fearful for a job loss, those who are looking at a change in employment, moving toward maybe retirement.
Yep. So, again, when you're working, it's so easy to get tied up on and focused on your day-to-day responsibilities and getting the job done. And companies, for the most part, sadly, I think, are not great at promoting growth and development of their employees. So it falls to you to ensure that you're keeping up with trends in your industry, keeping your skills fresh. Put an appointment on your calendar at least twice a year to review your work, note any special projects, make arrangements to grow your knowledge and skills. Take opportunities to connect with colleagues and other organizations through your professional groups. And these activities just, you know, it doesn't have to take up a huge amount of time, but it will pay dividends. I can guarantee you it will pay dividends whenever that next step has to happen. Especially if you're fearful of job loss, the advice I just gave to everybody really, really applies to you. You really need to take this to heart. Make time to gather any information you have that will highlight your skills and value. You know, that cloud storage spot that's not your work computer is a great place. Just keep as much information as you can. Ramp up your networking activities and make it a point to join professional and be visible in professional groups. Don't just go there and sit like a bump on a log at their monthly meeting. Volunteer for a role, you know, volunteer to help them with their annual conference or to organize a happy hour or something like
Even
that.
Even better, yes.
Yeah, happy hours. I vote for happy hours.
I do too.
Yeah, right. Make sure your LinkedIn profile is up to date and use that platform to connect with potential employers. And know your current employer can't see that you're doing this. I think people are really paranoid that their current employer is checking their LinkedIn profile every day. Not happening.
They're probably kind of busy too.
Yeah.
You know, Sharon, let's put an emphasis too. When you were talking about updating skills, again, go to your library. Columbus Public Library has the LinkedIn Learning Connection.
Exactly.
Tens of thousands of classes that you can do for free online.
Yeah.
If you do it through LinkedIn, it's going to cost you. Go to your library, find out if they have that connection, do those courses for free. They're easy, they're quick.
Yeah.
Bits and pieces of information is all you need, but it all looks great when you're talking to an employer and saying, oh, I just did this.
Yeah, right. And there's Coursera. There's all kinds, you know. You have to vet some of that. You know, LinkedIn really does vet, I think, the people that they're on. And I think Coursera is probably pretty good too. But, you know, just look, and you can figure out where it is that you're going to find the most recent version of your skills and make sure that you're upskilled to that level, because that means that the next employer that hires you, you could just walk in the door and start working. You know, they don't have to train you. And employers are notoriously not very good at training people either for jobs. They want you to walk in the door and do the job.
Exactly. Because they have problems and they want you to solve their problems.
Right now.
Right. Yep. Wonderful.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yep. So, yeah. And if you're looking to move back a different role and wind down your career, again, your network is really your best resource for helping to discern what that next opportunity looks like and how to get there. So
wonderful.
Yep.
Sharon, thank you so much for all of your help and wisdom and knowledge and willingness to help our audience and folks. That this information is free to you. Take advantage of getting what it is you need for your own job search. And we just want to thank Sharon as the resume and LinkedIn coach and our local expert. Listeners, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to check our website show notes for contact information and the resources that we discussed today. And you can find all of this information on our website at lookingforwardourway.com. We're looking forward to hearing your feedback on this and any of our podcast episodes.
The views and opinions expressed by the experts interviewed on this podcast are their own and don't necessarily reflect the views of the podcast hosts or any affiliated organizations. The information provided in these interviews is for general informational purposes only and should not be considered as professional advice. Listeners are encouraged to consult with qualified professionals for specific advice or information related to their individual circumstances. The podcast host and producers don't endorse or guarantee the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of any information provided by the experts interviewed. Listener discretion is advised.